Oh, I guess I have to be careful humming as I come up here because Kyle has me turned on. So anyway, how are you this morning? Well, that's better than normal on the first time. But I hope you're doing well. And because I am. Even though, can you say you're tired of the weather yet? I'm just asking a question. Because how many of your spring flowers have started to come up so far? Because it won't be long before they're up, will it? And when they come up and it gets cold again, what's going to happen? They're going to freeze and they're going to go. And if they do come up later, they're going to look really nasty. That's why what? There's probably another reason hidden in there somewhere. But we won't talk about that. So anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Stand with me this morning as I read the scripture. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that our hearts would be open and receptive this morning. May your Holy Spirit work in our lives to establish and to do exactly what you have already purposed. Father, we love you this morning, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. All right, I'm going to take a chance that somebody paid attention last week. This is always a gamble. What did we talk about last week? The primary thing, one word, what was it? Pardon? God, is God's word enough? We talked about that before. We talked about team last week, didn't we? And so anyway, I look over my life, and I've played on a number of teams. And some of those teams were successful and some not so much. But in playing team sports, there's always a sense that you played for the person next to you. If you were going to succeed, you needed to do what you needed to do and trust that the person next to you was going to do that as well. You didn't want success only for yourself, but you wanted success for that person next to you as well, so that together you could do what you couldn't do individually. Does that make sense? And success only happened when we work together. Same thing is true in the church. Success will only happen when we work together. Success will only happen as we work together with the team. I'm looking at you back there, Danny, and I remember what you said last Sunday night, that you wish your basketball girls could be here to hear that, right? To work as a team. Well, I tell you, the church needs to hear that as well. The church needs to hear that we need to work as a team. If we're going to succeed, we have to have the mindset to lean on me. Now, I'm not talking about leaning on the pastor or leaning on the elders or leaning on the Sunday school teachers or even leaning on anyone else first. If we're going to be successful, the first thing you and I have to do is learn to lean on God. And as we learn to lean on God and as we follow him, then we can learn to live on one another or live on, to lean on one another. Yeah. If you know me at all, you know I like music. And so when I came to the idea of Lean On Me, I remembered this song from a long time ago, and I heard it the other day, Lean On Me. And I talked to Kyle about this morning, and Kyle said, well, which version are you going to use? I said, there's really only one. And it's the one that was written by Bill Withers. So listen to me as I read those words, and even though this is a secular song, there's a whole lot of truth for believers in here. Sometimes in our lives, I'm almost tempted to sing it, but I won't. No, I'll resist that urge. Thank you for your encouragement. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrows. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm going to need someone to lean on. Please swallow your pride. If I have faith, you need to borrow, for no one can fill those needs of yours that you won't let show. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. Isn't that true of us as believers? We need somebody to learn on. And that someone needs to be a believer in God. We first need to learn to lean on our Father. And then we need to learn to lean on one another. Before I really get started today, well, I guess I'm already started, I want to just share some scriptures with you this morning. The first one is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You see, one of the things we need to realize, we can lean on God because of our relationship with Him. I think that relationships are extraordinarily important. I don't know how anyone can be a hermit. I think that we need each other in our lives. I can remember several years ago, and the idea of relationships are everything. When our older kids were young and we'd take them to amusement parks, Stacy was afraid to ride the rides. Of course, I know adults who are afraid to ride the rides, the roller coasters and all the things. And at Kings Island, they not only have the one that goes forward, they have the one that goes backwards. And so anyway, I would say to her, I'll be right here beside you. Stacy, this is a piece of cake. I will be right there beside you. And after we got on off the ride, she'd say, what a piece of cake. Let's do that again. But it's based on my relationship with her. She trusted her dad. She knew that her dad would be right beside her. Another thing I can remember, almost like it was yesterday, that we were in line at Cedar Point, or Kings Island, when The Beast first came out. Anybody remember that, when The Beast first showed its ugly head? Michael and I were standing in line. And all the way toward getting on the ride, I would encourage Michael, we're going to do this. We can do this. It's no big deal. I'm going to be right here with you. So we get up there where you get on. And Michael said, I'm not getting on this thing. And I'm thinking, Michael, we stood in line all this time. And I said, you know what, Michael? I'm going to be here with you. I will ride with you. Everything will be okay. But I had to make a little promise. At the end of the ride, Michael, I will buy you a t-shirt. That says, I conquered the beast. Now, you might think that I bribed him. And maybe to some degree I did. But here's what I know. When we do things based on our relationship with God, there is always a blessing that follows. Always a blessing that follows. And for Michael, the blessing was that t-shirt. For Stacy, the blessing was, woohoo, Dad, we did it. Let's do it again. But when we trust God in our relationships, there is always, always a blessing. And so we need to learn to lean on God. Have you learned that yet? Have you learned to lean on Him? God says the same thing. I am right here. I am right beside you. We see that over and over again in Scripture, but maybe the most familiar one is this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Psalm 23, verse 4. We can learn to lean on God because of our relationship with Him. And if you don't have a relationship with Him, let me encourage you to do that. You see, I think the most important decision any one of us can ever make is, what do we do with Jesus? Jesus says that He's God. Jesus says that He is the only way to the Father. If we confess our sins, He forgives our sins. If we repent, if we ask Him to come into our lives and begin a relationship with us, He does that. And so from that point on, we have a relationship with the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. And it's an amazing thing. I read this story, and I've known this story before, but I went and did some more reading about it today. I'm going to have you open your hymnal in just a minute. There's a man named H.G. Spafford. He was a prominent attorney. He was a Presbyterian church elder. He was a senior partner in a very large law firm. Spafford invested in real estate north of Chicago. Chicago was just booming and moving in that area toward the lake. The Great Fire, Mrs. O'Leary's cow, you remember that? The Great Fire of 1871 destroyed almost all of his investments. He lost a son to scarlet fever. In 1873, he decided to take his family on vacation to Europe. He decided to go to England because his friend, D.L. Moody, was preaching there. At the last moment, he was delayed because of business, and he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead of him. On November 22nd, 1873, the ship carrying his wife and daughters sank when they were struck with an iron sailing vessel. 226 people died, including Spafford's four daughters. His wife, Anna, survived. When she reached England, she sent a telegram home. The telegram said, "Saved alone." Spafford sailed to England and passed over the place where his daughters had perished. And he wrote this hymn. As a matter of fact, he went to his cabin that evening and began to write this hymn. It's 410. You're familiar with it, I'm sure, but I just wanted to read it again this morning. Now think about how someone who had just lost four daughters and had earlier lost a son to scarlet fever, think about how this could happen in this man's life. How could he write this hymn after experiencing all these things? And I will tell you, it's because of his relationship with the Lord. And one of the things you and I need to do is read the backstories of the hymns. We can read the word, you know, we can read the hymns, we can sing the hymns, but it's, I think, kind of exciting and informing to read the backstory. But here's the hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I will share with you this morning that the only thing that can get us to that place is a relationship with the living God. There is no other way I know to endure those kind of things than a relationship with the living God. Really. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Verse 3, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. What a great hymn. And hymn written out of a deeply deep hurt, of almost a despair in his heart, but he had that relationship with the Lord, so he could trust God. He could lean on God. And just the way Spafford learned to lean on God, you and I, is there something up here? that when I walk in that area, anyway, hopefully that won't happen again. I'll try not to walk that way again. But if we would just learn to lean on God regardless of what comes in our lives, we can make it. Verse 3 again in Scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Comfort here does not mean that He'll take all the stuff away. Comfort does not mean that He will take away our struggles, our trials, our temptations. What comfort means here is that He will encourage us. He will strengthen us. He will give us encouragement and the hope that no matter what it is we're going through, we can make it. We can make it together. We can make it as we lean on Him and as we lean on one another. Do y'all see how important you are to the body of Christ? Do y'all see how important you are to one another? We can't do this alone. We can never do this alone. It's like playing a team sport. You're supposed to have 5 people on a basketball team, is that right? One person can't win the game for you. And one person can't win the game for you. But 5 individuals working seamlessly can win the game working together. One church member serving God by him or herself can't accomplish God's purpose, God's will for the church. But all God's people working together. You know, is it that I'm not even supposed to move this morning or what? I'll go back to the stool in just a second. But a group of people working together can accomplish God's will and God's purpose for the church. And that's why these next 2 Saturdays are important. If you were to invite someone to church and they would ask you to describe First Baptist Church, what would you tell them? See, that's the first question in a series of questions that we're going to take, I'm sitting down, as we move forward as a church to seek His will, to seek His direction, to seek His leading, so that you and I can become the church that God wants us to be. We can lean on God because He's a God of compassion. He brings comfort to us. He gives us strength. You know, some other scriptures that we need to be aware of. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know what those verses are, don't you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He will do what? Make your path straight. He will direct your paths. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that based on our relationship with Him? When we are going through struggles, when we're being tempted, when all the world seems like everybody's walked out and we're the only ones there, God says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We can lean on Him because He cares. We can lean on Him because He's compassionate. We can lean on Him because He is the Almighty God of the universe and has promised to never leave nor forsake us. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God is faithful, isn't He? God keeps His promises to us. We can lean on Him because of who He is. We can lean on Him because of our relationship with Him. People can learn to lean on us as we learn to lean on God. It's not easy to learn to lean on God, is it? You know, we've got all this stuff going on that we know best. The greatest sin of all, I believe, is a sin of pride. That I can do it, that I don't need you, that it's all about me. And the only way we can learn to lean on God is to put all that stuff away. To realize it's not about us, but it's about Him. Look at verse 4. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to do what? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What's that tell us? It tells us that we need each other, doesn't it? We go through situations not just for us. We can trust God to get us through those things, but we endure those situations and those struggles and those trials so that we can help others who find themselves in those same things. Lean on me when you're not strong. That's what Bill Withers wrote. We can find that, not those words, but the idea in the scripture. Lean on me when you're not strong. You're going through a difficult time, lean on me. And you know what we need to do as Christians, as believers? We need to let other people know that they can lean on us. That we are there for them. We need to let other people know that we care enough about them that we will always be there for them, that they're not in this thing alone. That the truth is, they will never walk alone because we're there. And if all you do is tell somebody you're praying for them and mean it, that will help people get through. Once in a while, we have to have somebody come along and pick us up because we fall. We need to learn to lean on God so that others can lean on us. We can't get through this alone. We can't. We need each other. Some of you have gone through divorce. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. But when others are in the midst of something like that, somebody needs to come alongside and help them move through, probably help them move through in a godly way. We can talk about that sometime. Come see me in my office. You're going through job loss. Even a job promotion that kind of scares you. We need to have someone come alongside. When you get sick, and you're afraid, we need to have someone come alongside us and help us through. Do we do that enough? See, one of the things, if somebody asks me about this church, one of the things I tell them is, we're a family. We care about one another. We will do what it takes to help one another get through. And so I really believe that we do that. Are there some times that we miss it? Probably. I've always thought, in any gathering, you could put your hands out and touch someone whose life is falling apart. Every once in a while, we need to look past the appearance and look at people. Ever see people's eyes? You can tell a lot by looking in a person's eyes, where they are, what they're going through, their struggles. In a few words, you can a lot of times see what's going on in their hearts. We need to pay attention to people. And one of the things I'm most grateful for is it seems to be more and more, when I ask someone, how are you doing, they just don't blow me off with doing well. A lot of times now, people will stop and say, I'm struggling here. I talked to Sharon Heldreth this morning. Just in passing, I said, Sharon, how are you? And she said, well, I guess I'm doing all right, but my knees are bothering me. See, she went past the I guess I'm doing all right thing, and she got to the crux of the matter. And so what we need to do is pray for Sharon and her knees. We need each other. We need to learn to lean on one another as we lean on God. We can provide that comfort, that strength, and that encouragement, and that hope for others. God didn't bring you through your specific problem just you don't have to figure this out, Kyle. But excuse me. God didn't bring you through your particular trial just to benefit you. God brings us through trials and struggles so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can help others get through whatever situation. I've told you this, but it's appropriate for me. A farmer was out plowing his field, and it was a little bit muddy, and he got his tractor stuck in the mud. So he was trying to figure out what to do, and he said, I'll just go over to my neighbor's house and ask him if he can come pull me out. And the neighbor had just bought a brand new four-wheel drive tractor. So his neighbor said, yeah, I'll come pull you out. And his wife said, don't go over there. You might get stuck. What if you get stuck? And he said, if I get stuck, then I'll just sit down and cry with him. You know, we need each other. We need to have compassion for one another. We need to do whatever it takes to help each other get through whatever struggles we find ourselves in. You see, Paul refers to his struggles so that we can learn from him. Paul went through enormous struggles so that you and I could learn to see that God was faithful, that God was always there, that God cares, that God encourages. 2 Corinthians. Well, that's where we are. Turn back to chapter 11. I'm going to start, I'll start at verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Turn to chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Paul is speaking of himself. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. 3 Paul prayed that whatever the situation was, it would leave him. Now, wouldn't you think that when Paul prayed that God would answer that prayer, Paul was extraordinarily faithful. Paul followed God. In Philippians chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ. Paul was all about God, and yet here it says, Three times he prayed that whatever this situation was, that it would depart from him. But God had a lesson for him, just like he has a lesson for us. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul suffered enormously, more than any of us will ever suffer for the cause of Christ. And yet, in all those things, God had a lesson for him, just as God has a lesson for us. And seeing these things happen in Paul's life encourages us and ought to give us strength and ought to give us hope that regardless of what's going on in our lives, we can endure it. For the lesson is this: my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Do y'all believe that? You see, a lot of times we're going through stuff and we gripe and we grumble, we complain, we whine. But what God is trying to teach us in all those things is that His grace is sufficient for us. And we can be encouraged that the God who brought Paul through those things will also bring us through those things. You see, Paul learned that God's grace was sufficient, that he could lean on God because he had seen God at work in his life. We can learn the same thing. We can learn that we can lean on God because of the things we've seen God do in our lives. And we can learn to lean on one another because we have things that we can share with others. The trials and tribulations, the struggles, the ups and the downs, we can share those things with others. And when they go through those things, we will have the opportunity to say, "Here's how God helped me. Here's how God moved me through it." And God may not do it in their lives the same way, but they need someone. We need someone. I need someone to come alongside and tell me and tell us that God is faithful, that His grace is sufficient for us, that regardless of what we face, He can and will bring us through it. Years ago, for whatever reason, I just forgot her name. She sang "The Warrior Is a Child." Anybody remember who did that song? That's exactly who it was, Twyla Paris. And she said sometimes that in her life, they don't know that I go running home when I fall down. You see, she knew that she could run home to God, that God cared, that God would lift her up, that no matter how far we've fallen, God can and will lift us up. You believe that? Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient, regardless of what's going on in your life or in mine? Do you believe that you can learn to lean on God and thereby learn to lean on one another? We need each other. We can't get through this thing alone. We're going to struggle, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, and we need someone to come alongside and lift us up and put their arm, the heck with this microphone, and say, "I love you and I care for you and I'll be there for you." Just as God is there for me, so I will be there for you. Learn to lean on God. Learn to lean on one another. And when we do that, we can form the team we're looking for. We can be the people of God that He wants us to be when we realize it's all about Him. Pray with me. Father, we thank You.